Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Mahmoud Muhammad. I'm from the Senate office in Joburg. Normally, my opposition takes a slot on questions and answers, but tonight we'll be having a special program of Qurbani, and I hope the listeners benefit, especially our Senate staff. Alhamdulillah, they are quite acquainted with some of the Masaid and so on. But I'd like to start off by saying that I am the chief auditor at the Senate office, and I started in the Halal program in 1977, under Mufti Ibrahim Sanjalbi, rahmatullahi, alhamdulillah, and then Mufti Bashir and so on. Then 22 years was spent at Sedative Abattoir, and I have experience of Qurbani for 34 years now at Darum Zakaria. And at this time, unfortunately, because it's COVID, we are unable to do masjid programs, Darulum programs, school programs. All this has gone in a back burner in this time of COVID. Allah Ta'ala remove this thing, and Allah Ta'ala protect those who got it, and Allah give full shifa, inshallah. And those who don't have it, Allah Ta'ala protect them from it, and all of us also, inshallah. And of course, especially the Ummah. Okay. As far as our topic is concerned, the office wanted me to speak about the Masail of Qurbani and Masail of slaughter and so on. I just want to explain to the listeners that there are three kitabs in the fiqh, that are interlinked. The one, of course, is Kitab al-Zabai, the one we're going to talk about now. And Kitab al-Said is a kitab on hunting. And, of course, Kitab al-Udhiyah is to do with today's a program. Udhiyah is actually Qurbani, like we say Qurbani. So Kitab al-Said is hunting, Kitab al-Udhiyah, and Kitab al-Zabai. So as far as Qurbani is concerned, we have a prepared list at the Senate office if anybody wants from the public. This was done through compilation from Muhammad Said Nawlaki and myself and some of the ulama there, alhamdulillah. I just like to explain the different species of animals for the start. Okay, cattle in Qurbani, in the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala speaks about, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَعْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Then Allah is commanded to slaughter the cow. So under the ambit of this ayat, oxen and buffaloes are included. They should be 2 years old or more. The age is determined by the 7 inches of growth of 4 lower front teeth. 7 persons can be partners in the qurbani of these large animals. So 7 persons can share this qurbani, share in this qurbani. Of course, in addition to that, aqiqah can also be done with this animal. Maybe you have 6 shares for qurbani and 1 share for aqiqah, you can do that also. Or 5 shares of qurbani and 2 shares for aqiqah. 2 shares for aqiqah. So a person can do that also, alhamdulillah. So the ayat as far as cattle is concerned, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Then Allah Ta'ala has commanded you to slaughter the cow. Okay, as far as sheep are concerned, Allah Ta'ala tells us, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. In the ayat of the Quran, and we have compensated Ibrahim al-Islam with a great sacrifice. We do know the history of Qurbani, where Ibrahim al-Islam saw the dream and so on. We're not going to delve into that now. We are just speaking about the species of the animals. So here, sheep, rams and goats are included under the ambit of this ayat. They should be 1 year old or more. But in the case of sheep, if they're at least 6 months old and appear in size to be old, to be 1 year old, it will be permissible for Qurbani. Goats must be a year old. Their age is determined. This we learned in the abattoir in Sadidip when I worked there for 22 years for the Jamiat, alhamdulillah, that doctors taught us that their age is determined by the established growth of 2 large front bottom teeth, which must be slightly spaced apart. If they're not yet spaced apart, then those goats are not yet 1 year old. So it should be large front 2 teeth, and it's been slightly spaced apart. So that's as far as sheep and goats are concerned. Then there's another species Allah Ta'ala talks about here. It's in the law, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. Sorry, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. Then perform salah for your Rabb and make nahar. Now here we make nahar, and this of course is a species of camel. Okay, now we should wonder now, cattle are slaughtered, sheep are slaughtered, and goats are slaughtered. Of course, even chickens are slaughtered. But Allah Ta'ala is telling us here to make nahar of the camel. So in this case, the reason for piercing the throat of the camel and not slaughtering the camel is that the food pipe and windpipe is in the middle, of course, like I will explain later, inshallah, but the blood vessels are very close to the food pipe and windpipe. So here you don't need to slaughter the camel because the blood vessels are so close, you just make nahar of the camel and you still get the four vessels. That's the reason, and this is why the ayat, Allah Ta'ala's divine injunction, that we should not slaughter camels, but we should make nahar of camels because of the food pipe being, I mean the blood vessel being so close to the food pipe and windpipe. The throat of the camels are pierced and not slaughtered like cattle because their blood vessels, food pipe and windpipe is structured differently, like I mentioned now. Okay. The camel also should be 5 years, the camel should be 5 years and older. 7 partners can be shared for Qurbani, for a camel also. Like the oxen, 7 shares. In this case also 7 shares for the, for camels also, alhamdulillah. Okay. Then Rasulullah has taught us affection for animals. In hadith, Rasulullah tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْنِ فَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. Right, when the slaughter, Allah Ta'ala has given proficiency in everything. And also when you slaughter well. When you slaughter well. You don't poke the animal anywhere and you don't leave some of the pipes, the vessels not slaughtered. We shouldn't do this. We should slaughter properly, like I will explain later, inshallah. Okay, now the actual people should listen very carefully. People make a lot of mistakes during Qurbani. We have seen in our experience in Zakaria also, where a lot of mistakes are made, and I'm going to explain step by step, tarteeban. I'm going to explain regarding slaughter of animals now. This is our topic actually for this Qurbani program. Many ulama speak about the virtues of Qurbani, the reason for Qurbani and so on. I will explain to you, and inshallah I hope you will benefit. Okay. We have the animal in front of us. When we're going to lay the animal down, it is not compulsory to face the Qibla. It is mustahab to face the Qibla. Like, for example, you're tying an ox. Right? If you're tying an ox, you drop the ox on the ground, you tie it up. Now you're going to turn that large beast towards the Qibla. The Sharia has not taught us this difficulty in our deen. Alhamdulillah, easiness in deen. So wherever that cattle is dropped, and even if it's not facing Qibla, we should slaughter that cattle immediately, the ox, whatever, or the cow, we should slaughter it immediately, even if it's not facing the Qibla. Of course, if you are in your yard or so, and you are preparing a Qurbani program for yourself, for your family, then of course you will face the Qibla, you'll make your Qibla facing all your, for your slaughter and so on, if it isn't done in your yard and so on. Okay, but like that, if you are somewhere on a farm or whatever the case may be, it is not compulsory to face the Qibla. Okay. Now, while you're laying the animal down, you should already make your niyas finish. In your jyoti ojina lilladi, inna salatin nusuki, all those, the niyas for Qurbani, we should do it while we're laying the animal down, not when the animal is already on the ground. When the animal is already on the ground, we should already be ready to slaughter that animal. Okay. Now, we are talking now about the knives that we are going to use. Your knives should be proportionate to the size of the neck of the animal. You can't use a small chuck or a small 6-inch blade to slaughter a big beast like an ox where the neck is so big and thick. You should use a 10 or 12-inch knife to slaughter that animal. Okay. For sheep, we should use about a 6 or 8-inch knife because the neck is smaller. Okay. Somebody was saying that you should slaughter you should pass the knife 3.5 times or 3 times. I haven't seen this in the Kitab Zulfiq. What I did see, I will explain later inshallah about the uruk, about the vessels that has to be slaughtered. Okay, we should not slaughter 3 times or 3.5 times. It depends on the size of the neck of the animal. And for example, merino lambs, they got thick wool. Even sometimes 3 strokes, we don't get the job done. Or darker sheep, where they got small necks, that by 1 stroke, even the knife goes through completely. Okay, so what I will explain, inshallah, as we continue. Now we have finished up with laying down the animal, make the needs for the animal, alhamdulillah, and also the size of the knives. Now, as far as knives are concerned, the ala, the instrument that we're using for slaughter, in the Kitabs of Fiqh they mention, and this is giving space in the Sharia, alhamdulillah, when we are in forests or we are in deserts and so on, maybe knives are not available there. So the Sharia tells us to use bamboo, to use sharp bamboo to do slaughter. Okay. Well, as usual, the kitabs of fiqh tells us, of fiqh jurisprudence tell us, ويجوز الذبح باللتة والمروة وبكل شيء أنر الدم إلا سن القائم وظفر القائم. It is permissible to use a sharp bamboo or a sharp stone to slaughter an animal. Okay. Or بكل شيء أنر الدم or anything that can cause blood to flow. إلا سن القائم وظفر القائم. We can't use our own teeth and our own nails. Rasulullah SAW hasn't taught us this barbaric thing. So Alhamdulillah, we use knives or we use a sharp bamboo or we use a sharp stone. Okay, talking about sharp stone, I'd like to mention something interesting. We always ask when we do these programs, are women allowed to slaughter, are ladies allowed to slaughter animals? Of course they are allowed. The hadith tells us, إِنَّ مَرَأَةً زَبَأَتْ شَاتًا بِحَجْرٍ فَسُوِلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَلِكَ فَأَمَرَ بِأَكْلِهَا. Right. Once a lady slaughtered a goat, but a sharp stone, here we're talking about sharp stone. Once a lady slaughtered a goat with a sharp stone, and persuaded Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Zalik, Rasulullah was asked about this. فَأَمَرَ بِأَكْلِهَا, Rasulullah gave permission to eat that carcass. So women are allowed to sort, Alhamdulillah. But when we go to these places like the public places and so on, the ladies should be cleared properly and decently so that the value and the substance of qurbani is not lost when we go to these places and we are not dressed completely, properly. Okay. Now, when we are going to slaughter the animal, the first thing we should do, like I said, we should see that the knife is very sharp. The knife should be sharpened before we get to the qurbani place. We should sharpen the knife because blunt knives, I see at madrasa sometimes, they cut and they cut and they cut, but nothing happens. Can you imagine the trauma that animal is going to? Let me tell you about trauma. Besides physical trauma to the animal, Rasulullah also forbade a psychological trauma, where one animal is looking, animals are watching how you slaughter the one animal, it causes great trauma to the animal. Or we sharpen a knife in front of the animal, it causes a tremendous amount of trauma to the animal. Even placing the head of the animal in another, in a place where one animal was slaughtered, tremendous amount of trauma for the animal. So the Rasulullah forbade this, that we cause even psychological trauma to the animal. Ya Allah, oh beautiful our deen is. Okay, then where should we slaughter the animal? As far as the neck is concerned, the kitabs talk about bain al-halq wal-labba. We should slaughter below the jawbone and above the breastbone. In that area we should do the zab. The slaughter should be done in that area, below the jawbone and above the breastbone. Alhamdulillah. That's where we slaughter the animal. Okay, now we're laying the animal, we have a knife in our hand. We are just about to slaughter the animal. The Quran says, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرِ اسْمِ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُسْكَنِ اسْمِ عَلَيْهِ. Eat that on which Allah Ta'ala's name is mentioned. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا, and do not eat that on which Allah Ta'ala's name is not mentioned. Okay. Now in the Kitabs of Fiqh, they mentioned two words there. They are Amadan and Nisyanan. One is intentionally leave out the tasmiyah. You say it's not necessary to take Allah's name. Of course, to take Allah's name is very necessary, because that animal's life belongs to Allah and our lives belong to Allah. Of course, you are taking the name, Allah's name, by slaughtering the animal and taking its life. So what we should say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, that's what we should say. All those long nails and all should be done, like I say, before the animal is placed on the ground. So the animal is already on the ground. We just say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, in the name of Allah, Allah is greatest, and we push the knife through to do the slaughter. Now when we do the slaughter itself, in the Kitabs of Fiqh they mention al-uruqu allati tuqta'u fi zakati arba'atun al-hulqum wal-mari wal-marjan. Right now they're teaching you the vessels that has to be saved. Al-uruqu allati tuqta'u fi zakati arba'atun, the vessels are four. When you slaughter, there are four vessels in the neck. Al-hulqum, that is a windpipe in front here, the grey one. Wal-mari, there's a foot pipe behind it. When we slaughter, we should observe these things when we do. Alright, we worked in the abattoirs and so on. We're so very, very, very used to this thing. But people who do it once a year should observe these things. Alright, so the animal is placed on the ground. The tasmiyah is read, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and the four vessels are seven. So it's the windpipe, the food pipe, and the two blood vessels. Okay, the two blood vessels, of course, are on the sides. And in the Kitabs of Fiqh, they mention, in Hidayah, they mention, Yatamayizu Dhamma Najis Min Allah Mithail. This type of slaughter, this Islamic slaughter, separates the unclean blood from the pure carcass. So that's the hikmah in here. We find purity in the slaughter, where the unclean blood is removed, and a pure carcass is there for not only Muslim consumption, but alhamdulillah for human consumption, alhamdulillah. So now the animal is already slaughtered, okay, the vessels are severed, the blood is gushing out. Now we see for signs of life. Signs of life is the legs kicking, the chest moving, the breath of the animal, the eyes moving, the tail moving, and so on, etc., etc. We find these things there, right, as far as life is concerned. But we learned in the Sanjeev Abattoir, the doctors taught us, that the animal seems to be still. The animals are not moving. Right? The animal is not moving. We should slightly poke the eye, very gently. And if it flinches, we must know the animal is still alive. Okay. When you see that it's still, when you poke the eye and you find it's still, then that animal has died already, then you can have it ready for skinning. Okay. Now we are past the slaughter area. We are already finished with the slaughter of the animal. The life of the animal is out. We are sure by poking the eye slightly, and we see now the animal is dead. Now when you come to the skinning now. Okay, I don't know if there'll be enough time to do this whole program. Anyway, let's go. We find for skinning, we should first make a price to the skinner. Tell him, you don't let him skin the animal first. He's thinking in his mind, I wonder how much I'm going to get, 10 rand or 5 rand or what? I don't know. Now in the Kitabs of Fiqh, they mention, Mughdi ilam nizar. It leads to arguments and quarrels. That type of thing. We should make a price with the skinner. All right, I'll give you 40 rand or 30 rand, whatever. He agrees. Right. Then you can have the animal skin. He knows how much he's getting. Okay. That's a piece in his mind. And also, after he skins the animal, you pay him the money. Right. Now, when he's skinning the animal, that skin of the animal is actually the proceeds of the money for that is going to the poor. So we should try and ensure that it doesn't nick the skin, make holes in the skin. I'll tell you why. If you make holes in the skin and you damage the skin, you must get, if you're lucky, you get 2 rand or 3 rand for the skin. But if the skin comes off properly and whole, properly it comes off without damage, then you can get up to 45 to 50 rand for the skin. Right? And that money, of course, will benefit the poor. That money goes to the poor, alhamdulillah. Many, many people benefit from that skin, from that skin money. Okay, now the skin is taken off, and now we're going to eviscerate the carcass. We're opening up the carcass to take out the insides. Okay, when we cut open, we'll find on top, of course, the red opal. The red opal will be your lungs and heart and and the liver. And the bottom, the dirty opal, we call in abattoir terms, is the intestines and the stomach and so on. Okay, we should make sure that this don't mix, because the red opal gets very dirty and full of muck and so on. We should remove that red opal, the lungs and so on first, and then we remove the inside, then the stomach and so on. And the intestines and all can be taken on one side. Now, what we shouldn't do is, you know, all these parts cannot be used in lieu of payment for the skinner. You can't tell him, here's the hearts and lungs and for you, or here's the stomach for you, I paid you already. This is part of your Qurbani animal. If you, after you pay him and so on, you feel to give him a hadiya, you want to give him a present, then of course you can do that. Okay. Then, sometimes you hear the lady say, I don't eat Qurbani meat because it smells. Okay, the khulasa for this, to solve this problem, we should ensure that we wash the carcass. Hose the carcass inside and out, let it drip, and never put it into a plastic bag. Never put it into a plastic bag, because that carcass is still hot. When you put it in a plastic bag, close it up, all that heat is still inside, it's going to smell. So we should ensure that we leave it for a few hours, leave it to drip, and thereafter if you want to bring buckets or whatever the case may be, then you can take that carcass away. Okay. Now, as far as that carcass is concerned, we can leave it for 1 or 2 days, in your garage or whatever. I don't know what a crime today, what will happen. Maybe somebody come take your lamb and run away with it. But we should ensure we hang it, or we already put it in the deep freeze. But don't curl the carcass, don't bend the carcass. Leave it whole and straight. Because when you're going to the butcher to slice, you'll have proper chops, you'll have proper portions of meat so that you can enjoy. Qurbani meat must be enjoyed You can even keep Kurbani meat for a year, huh? And eat from there as time goes, because there's barakah in Kurbani meat, alhamdulillah. Kurbani meat got barakah, and we should eat that meat. We should not say, it's Kurbani meat, I don't want to eat this meat. Okay, there's a few other points that I'd like to mention. As far as payment for a Kurbani is concerned, we should make sure that before the Kurbani is slaughtered, we should already pay for it. Why I'm saying this? Because sometimes we find a person, these people that do Kurbani that I know about also, besides our Darul Uloom, you find that they haven't, the people haven't paid yet. So when you go to them, you say, I came for my Kurbani money. They say, you think I'm going to run away? You can't do that. You can't tell a person you think I'm going to run away. You're supposed to be paying already for that carcass. I know of some people that didn't pay for 1 year, and the following year they still come for another carcass. The cheek of it all, they come and they want to buy another sheep when they didn't even pay for the year before that. Okay. Right. Another thing I want to mention, that one should ensure that the slaughterer, that he slaughtered his own wajib kurbani before intending to slaughter nafil kurbanis for any deceased persons. One day a person came to me at Darul Uloom and told me he wants to slaughter this year for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I told him, did you do your own? He said, no, I did it last year. I said, no, 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 you must do your own wajib kurbani first, then for any nafil kurbanis you want to do, then you can do that, alhamdulillah. Okay, every person is encouraged to slaughter his own animal. If one is unable to slaughter, then at least one should be present to witness the slaughter of one's kurbani is encouraged in the hadith. Okay. We should slaughter our own animal. If we can't do that, be present there when somebody slaughters for you, or at least hold the animal or whatever, so that you are also part of that, that sacrifice that you are doing for your own kurbani. It is not permissible to use animals for kurbani which have defects such as more than a third of the tail, horn or ear is cut off, and also such animals that are unable to walk to the place of slaughter. We can't do that, to use animals with nooks, with deficiencies. We can't use animals like that, okay? And then, at least, some of the kurbani meat should be eaten, like I mentioned already. Okay. Now, as far as the hay is concerned of a human being, in this last 10 days, and of the, to before the kurbani, if it is that the hay is long, then we should cut it. But it is mustahab to wait till after you do your kurbani. And this will be good for us because it is part of the Shariat and part of this kurbani program, alhamdulillah. Okay. Then, of course, I think we should run the carcass like I mentioned there. What is important also is that after we complete one, your own kurbani, right? Rasulullah taught us these things, Sahaba Ikram taught us these things, alhamdulillah, and the pious elders. When we finish with our kurbani, we should try and assist others to do their kurbani. You find one old baji there or a khala there, he's struggling with their kurbani. You finish your work already, you say, can I help you? Then, alhamdulillah, that will be very meritorious for you because you are doing your kurbani, you are helping people. And Rasulullah from taught us, khayrun nas ankum lin nas. The best of people are those who are most beneficial to other people. Okay? The best of people are those who are most beneficial to people. Okay, then when it comes to the shares of the kurbani, of course we should have in our heart some portion for the poor. So it is mustahab. If you want to keep the whole carcass for yourself, you can keep the whole carcass for yourself. If you want to give the whole carcass away, well, then you won't be having kurbani meat. But one third for yourself, one third for your family, and one third for the poor. I imagine, alhamdulillah, Rasulullah always had the poor in mind. Whether it come to zakat, whether it come to sadaqas, whether it come to nafil acts, whatever the case may be, even in kurbani, the Shariat has kept poor people in mind. So we should imagine, alhamdulillah, those in the abattoir, I should tell the non-Muslims there also, a lot of this kurbani meat goes to the poor. Thousands and millions of people benefit. Alhamdulillah, this is the teachings of Islam. This is how Rasulullah taught us. I hope you have benefit from this. Alhamdulillah, there are so many other things regarding the Shariat, like these three things that are linked now, the Udhiyah, that is Qurbani, the Zabah, Masail, and the Kitab al-Sayyid. All these things are linked, and it is so very important for us to learn Allah Ta'ala's Deen. Rasulullah taught us, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. The seeking of sound religious knowledge is incumbent, is compulsory on every Muslim. So we should have this fervor to learn. We should learn Allah Ta'ala's deen, and we should all, Allah accept our qurbanis, inshallah. In this time of COVID, now I don't know what we're going to do. We should try and social distance. We should try and keep our masks on. We should not share knives. We should keep our knife, use the knife, and wash that knife thoroughly, or sanitize that knife thoroughly. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to do the right thing. Jazakumullah for listening. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.